Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 4, The Confidential Reasons for Lord Chaitanya's Appearance. Page 89. Srila Prabhupada, during the period of Lord Krishna's appearance, the killing of asuras or non-believers such as Kamsa and Jarasandha was done by Vishnu, who is within the person of Sri Krishna. Such apparent killing by Lord Sri Krishna took place as a matter of course and was an incidental activity for him. But the real purpose of Krishna's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes at Brajabhumi, thus exhibiting the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So, to take care of the demons, he doesn't have to do that as Braja Krishna, because the point of Braja Krishna, his mood is his original mood, is that it's the, as Prabhupada is saying here, the highest limit of transcendental mellow in exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So that's what Krishna does. To kill the demons, he doesn't have to be in that position. He can, his expansions can take care of that. Right? Because being God, there's nothing he can't take care of. But it's just, to kill the demon doesn't require that much of his manifesting that much of his personality in that. So an aspect of Swamsa can take care of that. So when he kills the demons, he's doing that as Vasudeva Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So you see is that, even in Vrindavan, it's Vasudeva Krishna, and then he goes out to Dwarka, and then, Jarasandha, Kamsa, then so many demons are killed out there. But the dramatic performance, that's being done in Vrindavan. So he's taking care of that. Because by doing such wonderful pastimes, it attracts the minds of the living entities. Right? And attracting the minds of the living entities, that brings everyone towards Krishna. Right? As we were discussing this morning, nectar devotion, that it's that attraction to Krishna that directs where you go. Right? These reciprocal exchanges of mellows are called rag bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord in transcendental rapture. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make known to all the conditioned souls he is more attracted by rag bhakti than vaidhi bhakti, or devotional service under scheduled regulations. This means when you, the end game where you're coming to, that is rag bhakti, not the vaidhi bhakti. You understand? The position of prema that is based on attachment, rag, that's the position that Krishna attracts Krishna, not the one on vaidhi. Because even there, to take care of that, to reciprocate that, he also is expanding. Right? So his swamsa is taking care of these things. Right? And so then it means for those devotees, it's exceptionally wonderful. Because he is the Supreme Personality. But the limit of unlimited, sweetness that is there in his braja pastimes, then that's beyond that. So he's come to show that, to stage that. And so we have to be careful in this when we read this, to not saying, oh, we don't have to follow Vaidhi, because we're following Vaidhi to get to Bhava and Bhava to Prema. Mm-hmm. Right? But our intent in following Vaidhi is we don't know. We're saying, okay, we will follow Rag, but the thing is, you can't just say you're following. Mm-hmm. It's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, I'm hungry. You have to be hungry. Right? So that's therefore our following of the rules and regulations under the direction of the acharyas is in the mood of coming to that platform. Mm-hmm. Right? Then that will bring us.
Kumara. Can we say that being followers of Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami, we inherited Rag Bhakti?
Yes, means that's our process. But the point is you're either there or you go through the same activities as a practice that you get there. Because the Rag Sadhana Bhakti and the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti externally look the same. Yes. It's just a matter of whether it's more about the commitment to the rules or more about commitment to pleasing Krishna. That's the difference. But the rules are the same. You're still going to Mangal Arti, will be at the same time. You know, it's not that Vaidhi Bhakti it's at 4:30 and Rag Bhakti it's at 9 o'clock.
You know. That's a big
Yeah. Remember when I was visiting L.A. and I mentioned the devotees. It says, the weather's changed here. It says, I don't remember it being this cold. You know, the devotee laughed at me and said, what time did you used to get up? Oh. Yeah. So, the whole point is that rag doesn't mean it's whimsical. That's the kind of, you could say, the default... they're putting out flowers. The default setting, you know, in the Western mindset of rag means whimsical. You're just like, indifference means you're against someone. Right? Well, in the Vedic, indifference means you don't have an opinion this way or that way. So you'll deal with everyone, you know, accordingly. Right? There's no opinion on this. And so then we take the thing that rag means, we just do whatever we want when we want because we make it about ourselves. So whimsical means it's about ourselves. Spontaneous attraction means it's about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So if it's whimsical, then we want to do whatever we want. And so then we then thinking that, oh, I still have to do it to please Krishna, that means it's restricted to certain, options. Therefore, it's still Vaidhi. But no, the Vaidhi is just the form that's used. Like that. For us, it's just a form. For the others, it is the form, but it's also the main medium to express. Right? Because it matches. Majesty then, Vaidhi matches, because it's according to the rules. And we even see a little bit more where some sweetness is added in Ramachandra's pastimes. It's still Maryada, following the rules. But it's more about the emotional content of following the rules rather than the majesty. Right? So, yeah. It is said in the Vedas, Taittiriya Upanishad 2:7. We see a lot of comes from Taittiriya Upanishad, right, especially the second chapter. Raso Vaisaha, right? So it's quoted in morning was 2:1, and now it's Raso Vaisaha 2:7. The absolute truth is a reservoir for all kinds of reciprocal exchanges of loving sentiments. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of rag bhakti. He wants that, so we want that. Then we perform, we follow the direction of the acharyas, and then Krishna being pleased, we move forward in that. That's what's necessary. Since it's about rag is an attitude, then it must be on ourselves the attitude that we want to please Krishna in this way. Does that make sense? That's what makes it go that direction. Does that make sense? So it's not the external form that matters. Because as we said, that these elements of Vaidhi that we have, that are the ones that are used in that you see are common in the activities of Vrindavan, these are anubhavas of the devotees. Just from the what do you call it? The various udipans that are there, that inspiration comes up and they want to do service to Krishna. So they become anubhavas for the residents of Vrindavan. Does that make sense? Yeah. Thus he appeared by his own internal energy. He was not forced to appear by any extraneous force. So he doesn't have to come because the universe is falling apart and he's in charge, and if he doesn't do something, then you know Lakshmi Devi is going to get grumpy with him and you know stuff like that. Thus by his own desire he comes and performs his activities. Is that? And so he wants to give us this privilege. So it's not something that we, you know, it's our right and it's our, you know, we can't go out and march for it. It's a privilege. And so the point is we're going to be following the residents of Vrindavan. That means you have to, what's the principle there? They're giving direction. They know how to serve Krishna. They're giving direction. We're willing to follow them. Why? Because we want to please them, because that will please Krishna. They know how to please Krishna. Right? There's that one song by one of the acharyas. Krishna is yours. We're just running behind you, you know, shouting Krishna, Krishna. That's from Oya Vaishnava Kripa. Okay. Cool. Okay. Cool. Yeah, no, I got the. There's a song. It's Oya Vaishnava Thakura. Then there's also a song, Oya Vaishnava Thakura Ami Atnar Thakura. Kukur. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
It means I'm your dog. Like that. Yeah, it's all kinds of far out stuff. Yeah. Does this make sense? So it's an attitude that's there. The attitude is correct. You follow. Because otherwise, then, what's the element of liberation? Right? Why it means liberation is transcendental. Right? You know, except for Sayuja. In that, it's about... It's in connection with Krishna. Right? But what is it that we're not interested in, that we're only interested in pure unalloyed devotion? That means free from liberation. Right? Because you see in these aspects of liberation that what is the driving element? It's about Krishna. So it's centered on Krishna, they'll come to the platform of prema. Right? They'll have that affection for Krishna. But it's about their particular interest. Now, we're not meaning just the interest of serving Krishna, but it's a matter of an experience that they'll get from that service. You understand? Because one may have an interest to serve Krishna in a particular way. That's fine. But the liberation aspect is you expect a certain experience for yourself. Are we? Is this okay, or is this going to freak people out this way? No? Okay. So, then the idea is that that I want to be there, I want to be in this pastime, I want to be doing this, I want to be doing that, but it's all about you. What about Krishna? What about Krishna's devotees? They're the ones that are doing these things. It's not that you come in there and you know bump Lalita out of the way and then you know. Does that make sense? It doesn't work like that. You know? So that's the point is that when it's too much focused on this. These aspects, you have to be careful. Is it rag or is it liberation? Right? Because there may be a desire, but the point is that aspect of liberation means you want something from it. It's in connection to Krishna. Right? I mean, it's just like Kubja. Her love is directed just to Krishna. But at the same time, it's about how nice it'll be to interact with God. You understand? So we're getting to some subtler points here. So things that before may be sounding quite good, actually they're not. That's why it's just simply you're able to follow. They know what to do. We're willing to follow them. Then we're willing to follow. We'll be in line. Okay? Let us say you have a sitar. Right? There's four main playing strings. Underneath those playing strings is a whole bunch of these tadas, sympathetic strings. Now, if those strings are tuned properly, when you play the main string, they resonate. Right? It means you play the main and then it comes in just afterwards. Does that make sense? But it only plays if it's exactly in tune. If it's not in tune, it doesn't play. So that's the whole point. You want to do your own thing? You can do your own thing. But that's all the more you'll get. Well, if we're willing to serve the acharyas, then we experience what they experience. But if you're doing your own thing, you're only going to experience what you are. Does that make sense? Radharani, Krishna is the unlimited, complete, supreme personality of Godhead. Radharani is the full and complete Surup Shakti. Right? So, good resonance and unlimited volume. Right? Then she'll have her main expansions, the Astasaki and then the other, their assistants. and these main players like this, who are in line with Radharani. So what she experiences, they to their degree experience. Right? Even though they're less, they're a part. Right? She's taking that position of the Haladini Shakti, but she's the total Shakti. Does that make sense? Then you have down, you know, coming down like that, and then we get to us. Right? 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Right? You know, 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, unlimited. 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, unlimited. Right? Starting to see something here? So if we want to function on our own, it's that much. Radharani gives the example of her, the pleasure she gives to Krishna is like Mount Meru. Right? Mount Meru goes from the bottom of the universe up to the heavenly planets. Right? The heavenly planets sit on top of the bottom of Mount Meru. And Mount Meru is made out of solid gold. Right? Yeah, so it's significant. Right? All others are like a mustard seed. Right? If all others are like a mustard seed, and we're, you know, something smaller coming along later, we're one of those small mustard seeds. You know, you've seen there's the big fat mustard seeds and the little dinky, dinky ones. Yeah. You know, okay, they're cute, you know, but we're those little dinky ones. So, now again, let's do the comparison. Mount Meru, mustard seed. Mount Meru, mustard seed. Right? So, if we directly try to interact on our own, then 1/10,000 means that we get, you know, we'll give pleasure to Krishna and he'll appreciate it, he'll reciprocate it, but it's 1/10,000 it's one mustard seed worth of, you know, happiness. While Radharani is Mount Meru. Does that make sense? So instead of it being a mustard seed or Meru, why not Meru plus a mustard seed? Then it's more. Does that make sense? It's just like, the meal is there, it's nice, and then you add into it that the napkin's in a nice design. Yeah. It just adds. But if we come out and I sit you down and all there is there is this napkin, and okay, so whatever, no, that's it. You know, it's like, okay, you know, nice. But if it's the full meal and that, then, ooh, okay. And then you add in so many associates, then it adds all the little things around it. Does that make sense? So that's what we're doing, is you already have the meal. That's Radha and Krishna. Then we're adding to it. We're assisting. That's why this is, because the rag bhakti is already going on. It's not that until we get there, the party doesn't start. You know? It's already going on. So that's why it says he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of rag bhakti. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of rag bhakti. So it's not that we deserve it, but he wants to give. So we're interested in this, we're appreciating this, then we can take part. But we have to see that it's in the thing is I'm following the order. So following the order of Guru is more important. That if we want to do things on our own, then that the difficulty comes up is then we may end up on our own. You know? Mr. Mustard Seed. So we want to avoid that. We want to follow the direction of the guru, catch that mood, then we'll be in that circle. So, the good? Yes.
We talk about mood a lot lately.
Yes.
Is it possible, actually, to teach people the mood? How does that happen?
You can just talk about it. They have to catch it. That's the whole point of bringing close. Like prema, you can only describe that it's there and that it's very, very wonderful. But until someone experiences that, you can. So that's there. You can only explain it. That's why we're doing. That's the tattva and all these different asks. We're explaining it. But if someone therefore is interested, then Krishna will reciprocate and bestow upon them by his mercy. Right? So that's the things we're used to dealing in tangible objects, and by that tangible object with our knowledge and our skill, we'll combine that together and get and transform that into another tangible object. Right? Does that make sense? But the thing is, you're doing that to get an experience. So that experience is not, we think it's coming from the object. That's why we'll think it's by this external aspect. But it's not. It's coming from the potencies that are there of Krishna's that Krishna's reciprocating it. Right? So we're putting the emphasis on this external. Krishna's putting it on the internal. And the external is just the standard things you do. They're standard. Right? But the way it's put together and because of the relationship, it becomes very, very special. Like Krishna, with the Kaliya Leela, that becomes very, very special. Right? Does that make sense? But, someone's there and they're taking bath and the kid slips and falls in the water, then the mood that's there, it's the same kind of things. People are concerned and this and that. But it doesn't have that wonderfulness that when Krishna does it. Does that make sense? So it's because of the mood that makes it so special. That's it. That Braj is a mood. Right? Then Mathura, then Dwarka, then Vaikuntha, then the material world. Yeah. But actually, that's the main, and then you have, it's like I mentioned that poster I once saw of the New Yorker's view of the world. it had the poster, it has this huge thing of Manhattan. And you see on there the different places in Manhattan. And then after, that takes up like about at least two-thirds or three-quarters of the poster. It's done in that kind of perspective going out. Then after that, you see a little farther than it's Chicago, Los Angeles, Tokyo, like that. so it's all there is Manhattan. So that's the same way. So there's Braj, and then everything else is there, but it's way off, and in the corner somewhere is the material world.
They got the principle.
Yeah, they got the principle. It's just the detail needs some work, but that's their meaning. To catch the principles there, then you can use it. So it's exclusive. That possessiveness and that. It's like there's probably a huge amount of those in Manhattan never leave Manhattan. They haven't left for like 10 years. They just don't. It's just why would you? So that's why it's more about that commitment, that surrender to follow the order of Guru than specifically what you're doing. But it means everyone's an individual, so in following the order, they're going to be doing different things that match their nature and their position, their situation, their facilities. But it's that surrender to the order that makes it important. Does that make sense? Nowadays, it's you see coming up this mix of this the intellectual element, but not actually a logical one. Just you think you're smart, or this whole emotional thing and about qualities and all that. When it's not about actually developing the Vaishnava qualities, or economics, but it's not about following Dharma to get Artha. It's just by talking, money will happen. I'm not sure. Same with management. You just talk and somehow another management happens. You know what I'm saying? So you get these mixes that come in, but actually, no, it's following the order of Guru. Therefore, if you have the nature of man, you're managing because that's the direction given by Prabhupada, to engage your nature. That's why you're doing it. Does that make sense? And then, because of that, then that will impress Krishna and his associates. So, if that's there, then the activities, the forms and all that, they go on very nicely, however they were going on. But that's what makes something stand out, what makes something different. It's the mood. So, yeah.
Can we say that also in the Kardashian, he said that it's very rare.
It is rare, yes.
Pure devotion is
yes,
rare.
It's rare. But what it means, rare, we can look, it's very rare because there's unlimited living entities, like that discussion I think is with Rupa Goswami, where he's talking about there's unlimited living entities in the universe, and then of those, there's very few that are human.
Yes.
Right? And of those that are human, means of the 400,000, very few of them are civilized.
Yes.
And civilized is defined by following Varnashram. So now we can start to understand how rare it is, right? You know, because that's where we start, human, right? You know, civilized. Then of those, very few are actually serious of that. Then, you know, some are Brahmins. Of that, very few are interested in liberation, you know, or getting out of the material world. Of that, most just talk about it. Very few are. That means those who talk about it, very few endeavor. Those who endeavor, very few actually have. And of those, then now it's the rare one that'll be a devotee. Right? So from that context that we're looking. And so we have to appreciate that it's not just some standard thing. Right? But the other side, we can also appreciate the potency of the founder Acharya, that to us it looks like it's pretty common. So out of all these unlimited living entities, he's gotten all the ones that are in the rare category all together in one place. Like that. So that's his potency.
That's why it is like a privilege.
Yes. That's why the word is used, privilege. This is Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada. Yes. Like that. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's just serious about anything and has the right attitude, then working in that area, being able to function nicely, being able to work with others and have that support, it'll always be seen as a privilege. Mm-hmm. Like that. Those who think it's you know, theirs and they create, they're not very developed. How you say, undeveloped minds. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, skill may be quite good, but their mind is not very developed. Yes.
The difficulty with the mood seems to be is that it's not something, you know, tangible and concrete. For example, we were challenged is that, you know, Srila Prabhupada has a certain mood, and so many of his followers claim that they know his mood. But then after some time, obviously, it was proven that they aren't. So it seems to be very subjective or highly subjective.
That means it's subjective, yes, but that subjectivity is in relationship to Krishna. So it's Krishna's subjectivity. That's the meaning of the Icha Shakti. It's his subjectivity. Right? It means what pleases him, what he likes to do, how he likes to interact with the devotees. Because being God, he knows what's the best. Right? I mean, he has everything, he is everything, so he can easily choose the best. And so he does, and that's Braj. You know? And so that's out of all the combinations, that's the best. So it is subjective, and it's just a matter of, do you want that subjectivity? And also then, in looking at it, you can't look linear in these things. That someone is there, he's trying and all that, you may be catching that for some time, but then for some reason they get distracted or something else happens and all that. You know, just whatever it is, bad association, or Prabhupada says sometimes the jiva gets tired. You know, just, you know, pushing and then they get tired. Or they put too much emphasis on the secondary. You know, and as an enthusiast, you know, enthusiasticness in the beginning, yes, you put it on the secondary because what else can you do? You don't have a mood. Right? So therefore, in the beginning, you know, yes, they, you know, chanting, you know, let's say 64 rounds on Janmashtami and fasting from, you know, food and water and air and whatever you can fast from, and, you know, it's like that, and, you know, it's just, you go for it because you don't have anything else. All you have is the external. So you're taking your external and putting all your enthusiasm into that to do for its Krishna, and it's Krishna will be pleased. But at some point you have to start to see it's the attitude in which it's done. Because why is it so nice in the beginning? Because the attitude is good. It's enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not ritualistic. Yeah. And so then if it falls into a ritual, then it will get dry. But then if they know, but before this is what happened, so we have to push that. It's like, yes, I mean, it's a good thing because it was nice. You can see that it was there, but it was the attitude that made it. You know, so when you can't do that, you can't do, so then you do something you can. You find where you can apply that enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. But the enthusiasm directed at Krishna and following the order of Guru. Mm-hmm. Right? And the conditioning goes along. But if we put too much emphasis on the conditioning, right? So that's why the thing of the Varnashram, It's a matter of you just look at what you have and then figure it out and then go with it. It's not a focal point. That's the difficulty with it. We put too much focus on it. Oh, we have to categorize everyone. We have to do that as if it's a government thing. The government does not categorize people. Anywhere in Mani you saw that they do that? You know, does the king sits there and all the citizens come up and they have the sorting hat? You know? Right? Is that how it works? No, the king's business is to see that everybody is following how they define themselves. If they say they're a Brahmin, they're doing that. If they say they're a Kshatriya, they're doing it. Vaishya, they're doing Shudra, they're doing. So Shudra, they're doing their service, they're doing it nicely, they're not making trouble. Right? That, you know, if they're Vaishyas, they're taking care of their people, they're making profit, they're paying their taxes, they're giving in charity. Like that, you know, they're not bothering people with that. You know, the Kshatriyas, that they're protecting the people. Right? That otherwise, Duryodhana is, how you say, by knowledge and technique is a good king. Right? The Kuru dynasty has learned from the best. He's learned from Bhishma, Vidura, and that. Why won't he be good? His father is a Rajarshi. Right? So you see, when it comes to philosophy, he loves talking philosophy. As long as it doesn't include the element that his son should not be the king. Other than that, you see, he actually is a Rajarshi. He can talk for Shastra all day. He loves it. But his attachment to his son undoes the whole thing. Right? So, now, he's a good king. But why do the Pandavas feel it's better they're the kings? Because no one's going to become God conscious under Duryodhana. So he may see they're all performing their varnas, but it'll only be a Surik Varnashram. It won't be Daiva Varnashram where everybody's engaged in the Lord's service. And since the Varnashram system is to elevate you to God consciousness, therefore he's failing on that level. Right? But better that than, you know, something else. Does that make sense? So it's the attitude. Otherwise, then, you know, if the king's there, if the king's doing well, the other kings don't have to make trouble. You know, we're not talking Shakespeare here where everyone's stabbing everybody else. Right? You know, oh, and poisoning. Sorry. Very important part. Right? So it's not like that. It means they're there. You don't have to bother with it. You just have to fit in and do your duties as a Kshatriya, and the people are protected, since it's about that. If someone's doing it, you leave it. If someone's not doing it, then there's a discussion about politic or war or whatever it is. So this makes sense. Yeah. So therefore, the citizen themselves in their association, their family with their elders, with the Brahmins and all that, they understand what is their nature and they try to follow that. You understand? So we always try to take it as something as a managerial control, but no, it's everybody's educated to be able to, for themselves, identify what they are. And then accordingly, engage yourself. Right? And if you can't figure it out, then the leadership should know how to do it, and they'll guide you and engage you, and with time, it'll make sense. Right? So that means the leadership knows what it is, but it's not about that. It's about being engaged in Krishna service. So why do you need to know someone's nature? So they can be engaged in a service. Because if they're engaged in a service they like, according to their nature, they can do that for the rest of their life. Or at least for that time in their life where that nature is prominent. Does that make sense? You know, they're younger, more physical, or you know, they're householders, so more active in those activities. Does that make sense? So like that, you see. But that's the only purpose to know it, is to know how to engage people in Krishna service. Because we can say, oh, we're devotees, we don't do like that, you know, or that's for the temple. Yeah, but still you have to, within the temple, be able to engage people. And then the community, they have to be educated. So, does that make sense? So that's then how it's a secondary thing. It's not a primary thing. We tend to, it's either nothing or everything. But no, it's secondary. Krishna is the primary, and these are secondary aspects or marginal aspects. But important, you know, just like breathing's important, but we don't sit there every morning, okay, now hey Prabhu, hey, 1 minute. Yeah, what are you on? Yeah. Okay. And no, that's when we're not doing that. So that makes sense. So we have to see is that Varna is just there. It's a side thing. We make it such a big thing. Do we follow it or not? Or we have to follow it, otherwise it's not binding of this and that. No, it's just you figure it out what it is you can do and do that for Krishna. Are you both? You know, because it doesn't matter, because the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. And so this body is what it is. Right? The spiritual body, that's something else. But your body is what it is. But the principle is to be engaged in Krishna's service. Be fully engaged, body, mind, and words. Yes?
For example, if a woman doesn't like to be a woman's worker and like to be a man's worker or opposite situation, does this devotee have...
It means it's fine. The point is it's not ideal, but if that's the only way they can gauge, okay, we're saying the woman does man's work. You know, first we have to define what's man's work, but the point is okay, you're doing man's work, but that means that in work, Krishna points out there's guna and karma. So just because you have the karma to do it, means that you have the knowledge and skill to do it, do you have the attitude to do it? Does that make sense? So then, you know, that's what then has to be seen. So if you're going to do that for Krishna, then do that for Krishna. But then you have to see that your the whole package is there. It's not that, oh, but this is what I want to do, how I want to do it. How does that fit into anything? It doesn't even fit into the modern. You know, you say, oh, do what you want to do and this and that. What they mean is, when you want to spend money, go for it. That's what it means. That's the literal translation. You know what I'm saying? Because when you do what you want to do, what is it? Go where you want to go. What is it? Be whatever you
want to be.
Is that the next part? Yeah, I don't know. It's a song. You don't know that one? No? No one knows that one? Yeah. It's an old one. It was before my time, but it's one of those. Yeah, I think the dinosaurs used to sing it. I don't know what they're called, those like little T-Rexes, the Velociraptors or something, whatever it is, those guys. You know, because the T-Rex tries to, you know, they try to control it, but they can do whatever they want, these guys. They're so smart. So that's fine, but then see that the attitude is right also and everything, and you're doing it, and it's about Krishna. Just because you're doing, you know, the woman wants to do the man's job, great, but then do it for Krishna. But if they're just doing it for themselves because I want to do this, okay, whoopee. You know, 7 billion people on this planet are doing just what they want. Probably if you check out all, you know, all the animals are doing what they want also. You know, so we're taking that as that's some special thing, but it's like everybody's doing that. You know? Special means doing something to please Krishna. That's unique. Some sense. So even if they want to do, okay. And then who's going, you know, then do you have authority to see that you're doing what you're supposed to do? You say, I'm doing this man's work. Who's seeing that you're doing it properly? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. You just have to see that you're doing your service, you're working under authority. And then go for it. And then if it works, great. And if you find that after a while it maybe works today, but tomorrow it doesn't, then you make adjustments. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it doesn't.
Yes. Yeah. We need to have some common sense.
You have to have common sense. Yes, that's the whole point. That's Prabhupada's point. It's just common sense. It's a simple, straightforward thing. You just figure out, because you have the definitions of Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and you just see where does it fit. And then within one of those, where the variety within it. You know, where exactly you fit in within that. And so then you just find. And if you say it's a combination, well, how do the combinations work? Like that. You know, it's like a Brahman and a Vaishya, then you get Abhira. And Abhiras herd goats. Right, so there's that. So you know, you may say goats. There's a lot of money in pashmina. You know, so don't knock it. You know, so they'll relate to goats better than cows because of that impurity. Goats don't mind; they're tough. You know, they butt heads. They don't, you know, it's just that you don't need to take care as much. So because the mix, you won't have quite the same, you won't have that same flow as it will if someone's just a pure Vaishya. So they can put that full attention into the cow. And if the mix, you can relate to it, and you relate to the whole thing, but goats are a little more tough. So, you know, you're good with them. You know, they go up and climb up the side of the mountain, you don't really get worried about it. You know, a cow's up there, you know, a cow's up in the tree, you get worried. A goat's up in the tree, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, what new? What's new? Right? So it's just, it's there. And so then we could say, oh, but where's that? No, the knowledge is there. If we had spent the last 50 years trying to understand this, we'd know this instead of spend 50 years trying to avoid it. Right? Like that. Because the examples are there. It's not a big deal. It's just a matter of, do we want to be engaged in Krishna service, or it's a matter of prestige? And if it's prestige, why did we join this movement?
Right?
Huh?
It indeed it's prestigious. Somebody told me if you want some money and fame, you join this movement. So it's prestigious.
Yeah, you can try, see how far you get. But then don't look to the outside world. Look, okay, what's going to be prestigious in the society? Probably if you're chanting and there at the morning program, you'll get more prestige than, you know, doing something else. You know, so. Okay. Good. Krishna thought, Lord Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty. But love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. One regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as the subordinate. I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. Right? So now we're starting to see where, because we saw the division between the five rasas and the four. It was that sense of possessiveness. But then here, the upper three is because of the lack of majesty.
Yes.
Or at least we see in Dwarka the reduction of majesty. Right? Does that make sense? And so then you don't have that element of subservience. Because the friends, then they're equals. The parents are senior. Like that. Not, yeah.
So Maharaj, like, there are two aspects. That I'm Krishna, then Krishna is mine.
Yes. So
this aspect of Krishna is mine is more prominent for the upper three.
They both work, but the point is just because you are, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's junior. You know, does that make sense? So it's just a matter of the flavor. We're going to get to that. It's going to go up because within this, then you have these three. So the five, you have the four. The four, the three. Then of those three, you're going to have the one, and then within that one, then you're going to have you know. These two. So it just keeps going up. So that's why when he says it's something that's never been given, it's not just as simple as Radha Krishna worship in Vrindavan and Raga Nuga Bhakti. It's not that simple. There's a lot more subtle elements that are there. So it's something that's never been given. It has to be something beyond that, because that then Nimbarkacharya, he already gave that. Srila Prabhupada, the Lord, by his inherent nature, reveals himself before his devotees according to their inherent devotional service. The Vrindavan pastimes demonstrated that although generally people worship God with reverence, the Lord is more pleased when a devotee thinks of him as his pet son, personal friend, or most dear fiancé, and renders service unto him with such natural affection. The Lord becomes a subordinate object of love in such a in such transcendental relationships. So we see, just as a side point that comes up here, I think that this is the second time I think, or a few times, the Prabhupada has used the word fiancé here. Because fiancé means the person you're going to marry, right?
Yes.
So they would marry Krishna, but by the arrangement they can't.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not that it's just hanging out for some fun,
yes.
You know? Like that. They, you know, like that. Yeah. The Lord becomes a subordinate objective of love in such transcendental relationships. Such pure love of Krishna is unadulterated by any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires. It is not mixed with any sort of fruit of action or inferior spiritual speculation. It is pure and natural love of Godhead, spontaneously aroused in the absolute stage. This devotional service is executed in a favorable atmosphere, free from material affection. Right? So, purifying ourselves so we can be that, free from the material affection, free from inferior philosophical speculation, giving up any kinds of non-devotional inclinations or desires, all those kind of things, then we do that by following the process of sadhana. That will bring us to bhava. Right? That basically takes us beyond this. Right? So, yeah, so that's why the process works like that. But Krishna continued thinking, in whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. Means when Krishna says everyone in all respects, he means that. Even the person is a gross materialist, only interested in money. So basically he worships money. Right? So that means Krishna is money. So if he worships Krishna properly as money, you know, invests with intelligence and, you know, doesn't waste money and does all these kind of things, then Krishna as money will reciprocate with him. And he'll therefore get money. But they still have to follow Krishna's path of money. They can't follow, you can't make up your own. Right? Means in sociology and that, people make up their own stuff. You know, education, they make up their own stuff. But in economics, no one makes it up. It's purely observed what's there. And just who can observe and put together more and more things, their things are more successful. Mm-hmm. But they take it, this is what's going on, you follow that, then it works. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's very practical. You know, like doctors, they don't make it up. You know, it's not after the operation you wake up and your feet are hanging off where your ears are supposed to be. Right? Yeah. So it means there's a set standard, you know, of what goes where. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Oh, so that means even the materialists are following. So this thing of, but you know, we're doing this and they're doing that, but they, if they're successful, they have to follow Krishna. So we know that. Right? Yeah. O son of Prita, if one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as the son, friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and consider me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Srila Prabhupada. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, three kinds of devotional service are described, namely bhakti, ordinary devotional service, shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service, and vidha bhakti, mixed devotional service. When devotional service is executed with some material purpose, involving fruit of activities, mental speculations, or mystic yoga, it is called mixed or adulterated devotional service. Besides bhakti yoga, the Gita also describes karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. Yoga means linking with the Supreme Lord, which is possible only through devotion. Fruit of act means you're using these techniques of the karma, jnana, and dhyana, but It's the connection to Krishna that makes it yoga. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not the pretzel that makes it yoga. Mm-hmm. Right? It means if you take a piece of dough, you call it a pretzel. If you do it yourself, it's called yoga. Mm-hmm. It's that it's connected to Krishna. That's why it's called yoga. Mm-hmm. Fruit of activities ending in devotional service, philosophical speculation ending in devotional service, and practice of mysticism ending in devotional service are known respectively as karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. But such devotional service is adulterated by three kinds of material activities. Right? So you're ending there, but it's mixed at the time. At some point, that has to go away. So if you identify with it too strongly and all that, then it's a problem. For those grossly engaged in identifying the body as the self, pious activity or karma yoga is recommended. For those who identify the mind with the self, the philosophical speculation or jnana yoga is recommended. Mm-hmm. But devotees standing on the spiritual platform have no need of such material conceptions of adulterated devotion. Right? So that doesn't mean that they're not following, let's say, Varn Ashram or using their intelligence. It just means that there's no identity. It means Jiva Goswami, even though he's the greatest scholar, he doesn't identify as an intellectual. Therefore, it's not philosophical speculation. He's just showing through logic and defeating all others in that path, that, you know, to show what is pure devotion. Right? So they're engaged in activities. That's not what defines it. It's the attitude in which they do. So if they're identifying there and all that, that's why we're saying the Varnashram is just a matter of this is what the body and mind is. I'm not that. But the body and mind is, so I'll engage it as such. Just like I'm not the pot, but I engage it according to what kind of pot it is. Right? Adulterated devotional service does not directly aim for love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, service performed strictly in conformity with the revealed scriptures is better than such vidha bhakti, because it is free from all kinds of material contamination. It is executed in Krishna consciousness solely to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the point, is we're following the scriptures to please Krishna. That's the... Those who are spontaneously devoted to the Lord and have no aims for material gain are called attracted devotees. They are spontaneously attracted to the service of the Lord, and they follow in the footsteps of self-realized souls. Their pure devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, manifested from pure love of Godhead, surpasses the regulative principles of the authoritative scriptures. Sometimes loving ecstasy transcends regulative principles. Such ecstasy, however, is completely on the spiritual platform and cannot be imitated. Right? So imitated means we're taking that the secondary form is the prominent element. And so we try to copy that. I want to be on the platform of devotion they are, so I do what they do. So unless it is recommended, then that's imitation. Does that make sense? Yeah. The regulative principles help ordinary devotees rise to the stage of perfect love of Godhead. Pure love for Krishna is the perfection of pure devotion. And pure devotional service is identical with spontaneous devotional service. Yes.
When you say regulative principle, it is nine activities of devotional
service. Yes, yes. And then the regulations that are there in doing that. Like the artik, you do it at the regular time, not just whenever you feel like it. You know, it's just... Like I noticed, let's say you're dealing with those learning, let's say, music, right? They have to have, generally, at least in the, you know, many environments, you have to have a kind of a wide range of time.
Yes.
And generally that time needs to be at night.
Yes.
And because at any time during the night, it could happen. And when it happens, then you get into it and that, and then, oh, you really, you know, it gets somewhere. Like that. You know, why you see, it's like, seems to be more of a South Indian Brahmin thing that, you know, the lesson is at 4 o'clock, you go there, you walk in, you sit down, you do the lesson, you get up at 4:30 and you walk out. They can do that. But, yeah, they need all that kind of thing because it's... Yeah, it's about that they're calling that spontaneous, but that's whimsical. It's just when the modes of nature allow, it happens, and when the modes are wrong, then it doesn't happen. But so regulated devotional service sees that you're always engaged in service, because it's only by regulation that you learn anything. So even there in the music, unless you practice on a regular basis, you won't learn anything. Like that. So therefore, by doing that, you're getting purified. So if there is obstacles to that devotional service, that will go away by the regulation. Because the regulation will see that you do the activity.
Yes.
Right? If the rule was, when you first wake up in the morning, then you should, you know, do some kind of worship of the Lord. What time would that be happening? Like that. You know, so you get up and you do this and that, you have to have breakfast and all that, you got to take care of these few phone calls, yeah, and then, you know, yeah. Yeah, so it's not going to, so it's because it's at 4:30 in the morning, that's why it happens. Otherwise, we might not be there. Does that make sense? And then we can say, oh, but that's so restricting and this and that, but the gopis are always up at that time in the morning, because if they don't get up at that time, Radha and Krishna aren't going to get back to the houses, and the party's over. So they have to get back to their houses, go to bed before anybody gets up. Right? Does that make sense? And if you don't have regulations on when to go to bed, when to get up, there may be people that have been partying all night, and then they'll say, hey, why? Where are you coming from? You know what I'm saying? So, they have to be asleep. You know what I'm saying? So all these things, they make the pastime happen because of those regularities. But at the same time, it's not about that regulation. It's about the exchange and the interaction. So that's the thing, it's this balance about it. Regulation is there, but it's not about that. The primary is the exchange between Krishna and the devotees. The secondary then has all these aspects.
Yes.
So when we make those secondary primary, that's a problem. Yes. Or we have the primary without the secondary without the primary.
Yes. Yes.
Then, problem.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So here, pure devotional service is identical with spontaneous devotional service. So if we've freed ourselves from all karma and jnana, it will take on the spontaneous position. Flawless execution of regulative principles is exhibited in the Vaikuntha planets. By strictly executing these principles, one can be elevated to the Vaikuntha planets. But spontaneous pure love, loving service is found in Krishna Loka alone. Right, so there you'll see all of that has some aspect of it.
Yes.
So even Dwarka, there's some aspect of it, but it's only half.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's why it has, but Braj is, that's then just about the spontaneous pure loving service. Right? Does that make sense? So you do the best, but it's not that the flawless execution, unless you're trying to do that to please Krishna. Right? But then, since it's about pleasing Krishna, as things adjust, it'll still be about pleasing Krishna. Right? So if it's not always, but to, that you thinking that the flawless execution is the actual thing, then no. That means that's good in the beginning, because that means you're focused and committed. But you have to understand is that it's about doing to please Krishna.
Right?
Lord Krishna continued thinking. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives your eternal life. O my dear damsels of Braja, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have attained my favor. Yeah? So it's the affection, we're talking about the mood, so it's that affection that has obtained Krishna's favor. Good? So, we may not have that affection, but we can have affection for the acharyas, and then try to follow what they're doing.
Yes. Yes.
And then, because they have that affection for Krishna, you be counted in that group.
Yes.
Right?
Simple.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotion is represented in the activities of the residents of Brajabhumi, Vrindavana. During a solar eclipse, the Lord came from Dwarka and met the inhabitants of Vrindavan at Samantapanchaka. The meeting was intensely painful for the damsels of Brajabhumi, because Lord Krishna had apparently left them to reside at Dwarka. But the Lord obligingly acknowledged the pure devotional service of the damsels of Braja by speaking this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:82-44. Yeah, that's far out. Yeah, Kurukshetra is right at the end. Right? Yeah. Lord Krishna continued thinking. Right, so he came from Dwarka and met the inhabitants. So that's why he's going there. Like that. Same time, it's also part of the Dwarka pastimes. They'll go and do like that. But why there? Because then the Brajavasis can also come. Lord Krishna continued thinking. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me. thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, "What kind of big man are you? You and I are equal." If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada. According to the Upanishads, all living entities are dependent on the supreme living entity, the personality of Godhead. As it is stated, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yovidhati Kaman. One eternal living entity supports all other eternal living entities. Because the supreme personality of Godhead maintains all the other living entities, they remain subordinate to him, or remain subordinate to the Lord, even when joined with him in the reciprocation of loving affairs. Right, so they're always going to remain subordinate, that they're always going to try to please Krishna. But it doesn't mean that their method of pleasing Krishna is not through these particular ratis that take on this mood where there is no majesty.
It seems that Srila Prabhupada is very careful to, like in the purport, he brings about the Upanishad first.
Because that's the authority.
Yes.
And that's the fun part, is the Upanishads are mentioning all this.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is, you know, a few of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books, as praman for all these, all the philosophy, he just uses Upanishads. Like that. So that's where it is. Shruti is the that, then Smriti.
Yes.
Like that. We understand Bhagavatam's the highest, but it's, you always take it back to there, because there are those who may or may not accept Bhagavatam. So we can also quote from Shruti. You know, it's like that discussion upcoming debate with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they said, you know, you can't use the Puranas, you can only use the Upanishads, fine. Well, you can't use the Upanishads, you can only use the Veda, fine. Like that, then said, okay, let's cancel this debate. Yes.
It says Veda, then they say only Ayurveda.
Says no problem. It's not a problem. Like, Atmatattva was saying one time, he was speaking to an Ayurvedic, you know, doctor, you know, good doctor. This would have been back in the 80s. And because they were discussing this thing about the connection between all the different branches of the Veda. And so he took one verse from the Ayurveda and then said the verse, said it, what it means in Ayurveda and how you apply it. Then he said it, how it applies in astrology. Then he said how it applies as ritual, how it applies as grammar. He gave 10 different meanings in 10 different scriptures. So you can do that. You know what you're doing. So, so Bhaktisiddhanta says what he thought there had no problem. Yes. As far as Ayurveda, no problem. Yeah, and then it's any particular book, any particular chapter. Yeah. But in the course of exchanging transcendental love of the highest purity, sometimes the subordinate devotee tries to predominate over the predominator. One who lovingly engages with the Supreme Lord as if he were his mother or father sometimes supersedes the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, his fiancée or lover sometimes supersedes the position of the Lord. But such attempts are exhibitions of the highest love. Only out of pure love does the subordinate lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead chide him. So it's not a practice. You know, it's not a sadhana. Like that. Right? The Lord, enjoying this chiding, takes it very nicely. The exhibition of natural love makes such activities very enjoyable. In worship of the Supreme Lord with veneration, there is no manifestation of such natural love because the devotee considers the Lord his superior. Right? So, Prabhupada's pointing out here very much, trying to bring the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka. Right? And then in that, then he'll bring it to Braj, and then from that to the gopis. Right? So, taking such detail in that, we should understand that the system he's given us will lead to that. We shouldn't think, oh, the system he's given us, that's Vaidhi. No, we don't know what Vaidhi is. Vaidhi, that's smartas. That's Vaidhi. Like that. But we're not Vaidhi. Okay. We have rules, but regular principles in devotional service are meant for those who have not invoked their natural love of Krishna. So that natural love means this kind of love. So then you follow rules. Right? When natural love arises, all regulative methods are surpassed. Because the purpose is to please Krishna. And then if going beyond that, it's pleasing to Krishna, then it's not that the rule is necessary. It may be the beginning part of, but then it may go beyond that. Is that makes sense? Yeah. So that's the point. But it's not that they spend all day not following the rules. Right? Why does Krishna take the cows out to the pasturing grounds every day?
They need to eat. They need to eat.
Yes, they need to eat, but is it rules or not? Yes, according to rules. The cows go out at that time, they're vaishyas, they have to take. That's how they convince Mother Yashoda that Krishna can go out. So if it was just purely spontaneous, no rules, would Mother Yashoda let him out of the house? No. So then are you going to have any other relationships? No. Right? So, therefore, and she's in charge. Right? Yeah, so then. So, they're necessary to create the structure, but they're not what actually generates the relationship. It's just the basis for it. When natural love arises, all regulative methods are surpassed, and pure love is exhibited between the Lord and the devotee. Although on such a platform of love, the devotee sometimes appears to predominate over the Lord or transgresses regulative principles, such dealings are far more advanced than ordinary dealings through regulative principles with awe and veneration. Right? You're following, that's what he's saying, it's called a path. So that path of affection, that mood of affection, it's moving in particular ways. It's just like, let's say you're having a conversation with somebody. You don't just say whatever you want. You follow the path that conversation is taking, the mood that's being exchanged with that person. Right? Like if you start going into one area and you see they don't respond well, you go into another area. Like that. Does that make sense? So you're following that, and that's what you're doing. So that's what they're doing. It's not the rules. It's following that path of natural affection. So sometimes it's going on the same thing with the rules. Sometimes it's different. It's the path of the affection. That's why it's not something you can practice. We can practice the rules, but we're practicing to always try to be pleasing Krishna. Because that's what they're doing. They're pleasing Krishna by that natural affection.
Now, by hearing more and more about this mood, we are going to take slowly the mood.
Yes, yes. That's the whole point of association. So when we associate, then that's what we get. But you see is that this is still in, you know, the first book of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's not that we haven't heard this many, many times. But it's now by going through the study of the books as Prabhupada's recommended. Then now we're starting to see that there's finer points here. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the things that's why we want to follow. So we see is that following what Prabhupada said, it brings us to that kind of understanding. A devotee who is actually free from all designations due to complete attachment and love for the Supreme exhibits spontaneous love for Godhead, which is always superior to the devotion of regulative principles. The informal language used between lover and beloved is indicative of pure affection. When devotees worship their beloved as the most venerable object, spontaneous loving sentiments are observed to be lacking. A neophyte devotee who follows the Vedic instructions that regulate those who lack pure love of God may superficially seem more exalted than a devotee in spontaneous love of Godhead. But in fact, such spontaneous pure love is far superior to regulated devotional love. Such pure love of Godhead is always glorious in all respects, more so than reverential devotional service rendered by a less affectionate devotee.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Yes.
It seems practically that right at the beginning when the relationship, say for example, between devotees established, it's either formal or informal.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then to change it, say, you know, formal into informal, it's either impossible or takes, you know, like a lot of effort. So can we say it's the same kind of relationship with Krishna?
Yes, but the point is that here is that we start and then you have an established relationship. But other than we're servant of Krishna, we haven't actually established the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So all this going through is to come to that point to establish that relationship. Because
mm-hmm.
as Prabhupada mentions, the natural, there's the, you know, the origin, all these things. It's just, it's there, we just have to come to the platform to be able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So it's not that one has to worry about it. So if one has that element of awe and veneration, then that's what it's going to be. You know, so it's not a problem. Like that. Generally, other sampradayas, they specialize in that, but the point is ours being a Chintamita Veda Tetra, the basis from which the other four are coming, that through this sampradaya, you can advance very nicely and quickly, even in awe and veneration. So, yeah. But it's not that you have to change it. It's not that, oh, well, how do we change? We're doing the Vaidhi, how do we change the other? Because you haven't established the relationship other than your servant.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but while the example you're giving is that people you meet and that you start a relationship with them, then you have that relationship, you just carry that on.
Right.
You know, so in the same way, once you establish the relationship with Krishna, then that will carry on eternally. So, yeah. So it's not that one doesn't have to take it that's hard to change. So then we're changing from Vaidhi to no, that doesn't, because this is just. You're starting on this path. It's the path of spontaneous devotional service. But since we have no spontaneity, we start with Vaidhi. Right? Otherwise, why would the acharyas mention it? Right? But it's used in pursuance of Rag Bhakti. And so then it naturally brings us to Rag Bhakti. So, Didn't we already do that one?
We did. Lord Krishna continued.
Okay, Lord Krishna continued. Lord Krishna continued thinking, taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. Srila Prabhupada. That's the thing. He's so wonderful, he amazes himself. Right? And he's God, so why wouldn't we be impressed, right? So. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, educates his devotees and develop progressively to the stage of pure devotional service. Thus he appears periodically as a devotee to take part in various wonderful activities depicted in his sublime philosophy and teachings. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, and in all of them the Lord accepts the service rendered by his eternal devotees in a reverential mood. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna presents his most confidential pastimes as he enjoys them in his transcendental realm. Such pastimes are so attractive that they attract even the Lord, and thus he relishes them in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Right? What he does is so attractive. Right? But who's the most attracted by these wonderful pastimes is Radharani. So therefore he comes in that mood. So now you can see is that is starting to go into the why his confidential reason. Right? Lord Krishna continued thinking, the influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Srila Prabhupada. Yoga Maya is the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotees and different transcendental mellows. So it's not just the devotees that they're covered by Yoga Maya. It's also Krishna's covered by Yoga Maya. Right? So when he's covered like that, it's called Mugdaka. Right? And when he's not covered, that's Sarvajna. Means he knows everything. So that's the thing in Vrindavan. Then Yoga Maya is the prominent feature there. And so this Mugdata becomes there, and then he just forgets that he's God. He just interacts. I mean, he just, Mother just showed it. It's not that he's sitting there and going, well, I know she's not my mother, but, you know, she's reciprocating this way. And as I said before, it's my nature to reciprocate as I do. She's treating me like I'm the son, so, hey, you know, I have to do it. Right? It's that he forgets that she's not his mother. You know, it means that, you know, that he's God, and then he thinks she's his mother. And so then that's the whole, and that gives him pleasure. You know, it's under his direction that goes on, but the point is that, yeah. This Yogamaya potency creates a spiritual sentiment in the minds of the danceables of Braja, by which they think of Krishna as their paramour. The sentiment is never to be compared to mundane, illicit sexual love. It has nothing to do with sexual psychology. Although the pure love of such devotees seems to be sexual. It means the flow of the mellows and how their actions and reactions, in other words, all these anubhavs and sanchari bhavs and all that, are where the, how you say, the sexual psychology comes from here. But it's not about lust and about fulfilling one's own desires. It's about the interaction with Krishna. Right? One should know for certain that nothing can exist in the cosmic manifestation that has no real counterpart in the spiritual field. All, right? So it has its origin, but people can really take it weird, right? It can go into funny places. You know, it's like Mother just showed us cooking. And then you get down to, like I said, what they're cooking in Kowloon. You know, the principles of cooking are the same from what Mother Jashoda has. Okay, you don't have a button you can push.
I have a button.
If you have one that they call it? Just makes the sound go off.
Yes, in the big screen.
Oh, I see. Yeah, one of those things.
Yeah. You've got everything.
Yeah. Down here. All material manifestations are emanations of the transcendent. So that's where it's from, right? So that's why the other day when we had that thing, is that, the acharyas know the spiritual world, but they don't know the material world, right? You know, this is our hood. We know what's going on here, you know, like that. But it's just a reflection of here. That's like saying that the real person doesn't understand the reflection in the mirror. And so, because we're in the mirror, we know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So, it's original comes from there. The erotic principles of amorous love reflected in mixed material values are perverted reflections of the reality of spirit. But one cannot understand the reality unless one is sufficiently educated in the spiritual science. So you have to know the spiritual science, then you can apply it, right? Erotic principles of amorous love. Okay, so that's, there are principles. Then reflected in mixed material values, because you have the modes of nature, are then being reflected in mixed material values, right, on the three modes of nature, are perverted reflections, right, then they become perverted reflections of the reality of the spirit. Yes?
You'll notice that those who say this kind of things, that acharya is coming from spiritual sky, they don't really know what's going on. At the same time, they say that Raghunuga Sadhana is just for them. It's their own practice. It doesn't apply to us. So what they do, basically, they narrow everything down to Vaiji Sadhana. They can, right, you know, relate to this, or they can relate
to that. But then also that Vaiji Sadhana will be mixed, because if the Acharyas aren't involved, then you're not dealing with the metaphysics. So it's how they think material energy works. But the problem is if they were so good at material energy, why did they join this movement? You know, I mean, if you take someone like Ambarish Prabhu, okay, now here's someone who's well situated and all that, and can see that he's got whatever, you know, people are looking for, and it doesn't really satisfy. So him coming to Krishna consciousness, you could say, is okay, but he's generally tends to be really humble. You know? So if they were so good, why did they join? Right? Yes. That's the thing, you have only one Ambarish. There's one other devotee in D.C.
Oh, yeah, that one.
There's one Mataji, her father was a senator.
Was he?
Senator.
Oh, senator. Yes, yeah, so you have a few. I can say. We have a devotee whose father was Manischewitz. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah, so, but I say just it's very few. You know, so there's someone who's more is that they have the facility and they see that that's why Krishna says that having gone to the heavenly planets, you come back and you're born into the family of religious persons, wealthy persons, royalty, that kind of aristocratic. Then you have the facilities and at the same time you have the exposure to generally finer things and you have time. Right? And because you have time, you can think about it and actually see, make comparison. While others are so busy trying to make ends meet, they sometimes don't have time. They don't. So unless the devotees come along and every day, you know, the Hari Nam goes by, then eventually it starts to go, what's going on here? Okay. Lord Krishna continued thinking, neither the gopis nor I shall notice this. For our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities, right? So neither of them will notice that Yoga Maya is creating all this. Right? It's under Krishna's direction. But there's like that. They won't notice. Srila Prabhupada. In the spiritual sky, the Vaikuntha planets are predominated by Narayana. His devotees have the same features he does, and the exchange of devotion there is on the platform of reverence. But above all those Vaikuntha planets is Goloka, or Krishna Loka, where the original personality of Godhead, Krishna, fully manifests his pleasure potency in free, loving affairs. Right, so that's the point of Krishna Loka. It has all, it means just Krishna there in the different flavors of the different devotees. But there's always that aspect of the five rasas and the sweetness. It's just a matter of whether there's a little bit more reverence or less. Or no reverence. Right? Does that make sense? Well, Vaikuntha, it's reverence. It's just, that's the way it is. Since the devotees in the material world know almost nothing about these affairs, the Lord desires to show these affairs to them. Right? So that's why he said, I'll come and perform my pastimes. In Goloka Vrindavan, there's an exchange of love known as Parakiya Rasa. It is something like the attraction of a married woman for a man other than her husband. In the material world, this sort of relationship is most abominable because it is a perverted reflection of the Parakiya Rasa in the spiritual world, where it is the highest kind of loving affair. Such feeling between the devotee and the Lord are presented by the influence of Yoga Maya. The Bhagavad Gita states that devotees of the highest grade are not under the care, under the care of Daiva Maya, or Yoga Maya. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. Bhagavad Gita 9.13. Those who are actually great souls, Mahatmas, are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, always engaged in the service of the Lord. They are under the care of Daivi Prakriti, or Yoga Maya. Notice here that Prabhupada's saying the thing and putting in the Sanskrit. He's giving the explanation in the words and the explanation in the words, like you see Jiva Goswami and Vishwanatha Baladev use it quite a lot. Jiva Goswami the most. So Prabhupada uses it sometimes also, but he doesn't just use that. Right? So it's
very nice.
Sorry?
Makes it very easy.
Yes, yes. So that's the thing. He uses all the various techniques that all the acharyas use, but we won't even know that he uses that. It means you wouldn't catch that unless you've been, you know, seeing how the acharyas are always doing that. Then you see it's the same thing. Yeah. Those who are actually great souls, Mahatmas, are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, always engaged in service of the Lord. They are under the care of the Daivi Prakriti, or Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya creates a situation in which the devotee is prepared to transgress all regulator principles simply to love Krishna. Right? The regular principles means here in general means he's God and we're his servant. So they're willing to transgress that. It doesn't mean that I'll chant my japa or something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's it. They are under the care of the... A devotee naturally does not like to transgress the laws of reverence for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by the influence of Yoga Maya, he is prepared to do anything to love the Supreme Lord better. Right? So that means Yoga Maya is creating this situation for those who want to please Krishna, following in the footsteps of the Acharyas. Mm-hmm. Right? So the devotee doesn't want to do anything that's improper because he wants to please Krishna. So Yoga Maya, then with someone who has the mercy of the Lord, then she covers so that they can act in this way and please the Lord. Those under the spell of the material energy cannot at all appreciate the activities of Yoga Maya. For a conditioned soul can hardly understand the pure reciprocation between the Lord and his devotee. But by executing devotional service under the regulative principles, one can become very highly elevated and then begin to appreciate the dealings of pure love under the management of Yoga Maya. Right? So Yoga Maya is managing. But you see, it's all about bringing pleasure to Krishna. Right? That's management. Right? So she's managing the whole spiritual world, and in her other office, she's managing the whole material world. So in other words, she manages the cosmos. That's a manager.
Right. And she's a lady?
Yeah. But you're missing the point. Would the men have problems sitting back and let the women manage everything? Yes. So, but here is that then Krishna interacts. That's the whole thing. But, yeah. Yeah, so that's the point. It's not that women can't do this. It's just that if you're not doing it to please Krishna, then how is it any better than the men doing it? Yeah. So, yeah. In the spiritual loving sentiment induced by the Yoga Maya principle, both Lord Sri Krishna and the damsels of Braja forget themselves in spiritual rapture. Right? Because it says both of them forget themselves. So that's the thing, it's going both ways. But generally what you see here is that somebody may have a good mood and somebody doesn't and all this, so it doesn't match. So that's the problem. So whatever you do, there's always going to be a problem. But in the spiritual world, then Yoga Maya, how she arranges it, then everybody is forgetting and everybody is reciprocating nicely. Right? By the influence of such forgetfulness, the attractive beauty of the gopis plays a prominent part in the transcendental satisfaction of the Lord, who has nothing to do with mundane sex. Because spiritual love of Godhead is above everything mundane, the gopis superficially seem to transgress the codes of mundane morality. This perpetually puzzles mundane moralists. Perpetually puzzles, and then mundane moralists. Therefore, Yoga Maya acts to cover the Lord and his pastimes from the eyes of such mundaners. So she covers them also. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:25, where the Lord says that he reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. Otherwise, then they misapply, misuse. Yeah. So it's just like, let's say here, let's say something's going on and, you know, you have some schedules, you have this and that, you have things to do, and all that, but then you're with somebody, you know, some close friend or something, and you get talking and that, and just the time goes by and you don't even notice. You consider that a good thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just Krishna can do that eternally. You know, with Yogamaya and the devotees. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why it says they transcend rules, because sometimes they don't do all the different things. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of there's rules to do and they decide, well, I don't want to do that. Let's be spontaneous. No, it's just they're so absorbed in Krishna, then they don't see the application. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.